So good afternoon and welcome. We've read the original submission. You don't need to read that out to us, but you're very welcome now to speak to it and highlight key points for us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you on behalf of Mellors and the opportunity. Can I firstly say apology on behalf of our general manager, Kerry Lewis, who was intending to present the submission. He's in the North Island today. Yep. My name is Jeff Grant. I'm the chairman for independent chairman for Mount Winton Station, and speaking on behalf of the station in terms of the submission today.
Thank you.
Mount Linton is a 13,000 hectare property running around 103,000 stock units based in Western Southland. Property has around 3,000 hectares of undeveloped ground, 4,000 of relatively developed ground, and 6,500 hectares of developed intensive ground. In terms of the property, it has been in a process for the last 15 years doing a sustainability program, which has involved substantial fencing of the waterways, setback in terms of cultivation, etc., as part of its proposal. Now, it has some concerns in regard to the proposal and the plan as it's set out, and our understanding. Just in regard to a previous comment, just to give you an indication, the property has spent $25,000 so far in terms of work with regard to the plan, using Compass Consulting, Beef and Lamb, and also LandPro. I'm not going to talk to the parts that we agree with, but rather just to raise some comments around some aspects of the plan. First of those is in regard to Policy 16. In terms of Mount Linton, it cultivates around 1,100 hectares per year in terms of winter crop, and then probably between 300 and 400 hectares for pasture. And on the basis of that, we believe that there are some practices that would take place at the station which involves leaving cultivated ground exposed for a period of time, and also in cases where the property does move through a process in regard to resowing of properties, parts of the property, by using direct drilling and chemicals. We don't believe that this should be compulsory to have a riparian management plan. The property operates, like many, with set aside in terms of its current policy, predominantly for all land over under 20 degrees. We operate with a 20 metre set aside, and some aspects over 20 degrees we operate at 50 metres. Stock exclusion. For Mount Linton, this is a particular problem, even on those water bodies below 16 degrees slope, on the basis that we have a lot of property that does not have a reticulation. The reticulation scheme currently on the property covers around 4,000 hectares, but leaves quite a substantial part of the property exposed on the basis of not having a reticulation system. The mitigation for doing that would have some substantial costs for the property, and we believe there are better ways to deal with the mitigation of stock in terms of the waterways. Intensive winter grazing. This is probably the most problematic for Mount Linton. While there is, in terms of the proposal, the ability to apply beyond 50 hectares, the reality is, in terms of controlled activity, we're not aware of the rules that will apply to that. The property currently has 1,150 hectares in winter crop, and on the basis of that, we believe a percentage of the total property would be a much better measure than the ability to have a permitted activity of 50 hectares and then having to apply for controlled activity beyond that. Winter grazing is the most critical part for the property in order to maintain the stock levels at a level that can sustain both in the autumn, spring and summer growth patterns within the property at Western Southland. Cultivation on sloping ground in Rule 25. As I said before, we do operate with set-asides currently and believe that the practices carried out in Mount Linton would allow for the ability to operate on some parts of the property beyond the 20 degree limit. On the basis of that, we think that the farm plan itself should indicate what are the areas that are most likely to cause little damage in terms of either soil cultivation or slippage based on the proposal on the farm plan. Water, the capping of the total amount, this is under Rule 49. The property has a reticulation scheme that produces approximately 12,000 litres per hour, and on the basis of the proposed cap, as we understand in Rule 49, we would be limited in the amount of reticulation water we'd be allowed. And on that basis, we think that it should better reflect the size of the property rather than a limitation that's proposed, as our understanding is under the cap of 20,000 litres per day as being the maximum of 40 cubic metres per day. The property also would like to just bring to the attention of the commissioners that we do have under the appendix in management some comments raised around particular aspects of the plan as proposed, and should note that in terms of those, we see the nutrient budget provided and also the fertiliser one as management tools rather than a regulatory process, and so therefore don't see Overseer as being a regulatory proposal if that's the intention of the plan. Now, the other comments we have in regard to the project, we're happy to answer questions.
Good, thank you very much for that. Morris, questions?
Well, yes, thank you. Jeff, you noted that you have a large area of winter grazing. Have you undertaken any assessment of any effects of sediment runoff on the streams like the Sharp Ridge or the Morley or anything like that to see if the sediment build up or, you know, if what you're doing is actually not causing too much of an adverse effect?
Look, we haven't. We have done some earlier work about, as I understand, about 5 years ago in terms of sediment runoff. But in more recent times, at the request of the board, we've been through quite an extensive program at looking at the way we do our winter cropping and what changes we can be made. One of the things that we've done is self-imposed a limitation on the number of R2 cattle we cut through into the winter at around 8% of the total area in fodder crop. And on the basis of that, we have also looked at some experimental work by lifting to a higher. So we've gone to 400 metres to looking at growing fodder crops at 400 metres, predominantly to see if we can do it on better ground that has less sediment run. These are on the flats on the Mackay on the basis of trying to find. The biggest problem we have will be on the down area, and the 6,500 is where, if you have, especially under the use of fodder beet, a much more intensification of land use, and we found without any doubt there is some damage being done by older cattle, so we're trying to shift those to the hill country.
Okay, so that sounds to me like you do have obviously a review, you know, an evaluation of the effects going on. In terms of a farm environment plan then, you've got your own one obviously.
Yes.
Would you be, would that comply with the
We'll seek some advice as to whether we will or not. We haven't yet had that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My impression is that it would not currently.
So, if you had to make some changes, that could be possible?
To make some changes?
Yeah.
So absolutely, but I think that the difficulty we would have is, as a lot of farmers do, intensification argument in regard to saying whether you should have a set amount, even though you can under permitted activity to extend that. The number of hectares is probably not the right measure, it's actually the type of stock. So for us, we have a policy of 65% sheep, 35% cattle. That's set by the board, the company can't go beyond that, on the basis that we obviously know that sheep do less damage than cattle, and so we would have a view that there should be a much better management plan provides on the basis of the intensification. So whether you grow, we do extensive areas of light winter crop versus the heavier crop, they're completely different ground and different intensification. We don't think they should be all categorised under a per hectare basis.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Grant. I was just clarifying, I didn't quite hear. 1,150 hectares cultivated or in winter crop?
In winter crop.
Is there an additional amount in pasture?
We have been doing between 300 and 400 hectares extra a year. Yeah. We've just stopped that program last year.
Into grass?
That's both in development and grass, so that's there's 3,000 hectares that's still available to be developed at Mount Linton. Some of it's about 20 degrees, but most of it's not, and we've halted that program based on the current proposal in here until we make a better assessment about what we're able to do.
And in terms of Rule 49, the proposed cap of 2,000 litres, and your current system has a capacity of 12,000 litres an hour. Is that just to feed your current watering system, or?
Yes, that only feeds for about 6,500 hectares of 13,000.
Yeah.
The rest of the property is open.
But it may be increased. Is that like, was that a?
There would be probably, look, it's a bit of a guesstimate, but there would probably be about 2,500 to nearly 3,000 hectares. It would be difficult to say whether establishing a reticulation scheme to the extent to be able to feed water for cattle would be an economic option.
Anyway, it's very clear the issue there.
Yeah, we're looking at a, we've got 300 kilometres to fence, if we were to meet the plan under this current proposal, which is just, just on $4.5 million. So the logic of that, it makes it a wee bit hard.
Yeah. Thank you.
Edward's canvassed my area, so no questions.
Right. Just briefly, I think one of the biggest problems you've got is size. You're actually quite big, so the rules are set at a different level because you sit well outside of those rules. So would getting consent for some of the standard things, like water take and or cropping, would that be an issue for Mount Linton?
If it serves some purpose, yes. I think the frustration from the board perspective has been around the basis of saying, and let's take reticulation as an example, if there is a logical argument that there is a necessity to have a restriction on the volume of water taken out of West and South, we would be part of that restriction. But setting a rule on the basis of 2,000 litres per day just seems illogical when there's no restriction of water. What's the purpose? And so for us, we'd say, look, if there is a nutrient loss that is far greater than was proposed in the plan, we'd obviously want to meet that nutrient loss. Same thing, but don't set the rule just on the basis of thinking that's necessarily fixing a problem if there's no problem.
So can I just take that a little bit further? The the rules are widespread, so they're region rules in many respects, and you sit well outside that. You and other properties have the same problem, effectively.
So if we were divided into 25,000 stock unit properties, we wouldn't have to apply for this rule. It just seems illogical because of suddenly by size that you're required to apply for the rule.
So are you suggesting that there should be some consideration in that?
Probably the difficulty I have in answering that question is we're not sure yet what's allowed under a permitted activity, or what's required under a resource consent. So the current advice to us is to apply for a resource consent for everything. And the board's rejected that on the basis of saying, why do that? So the only way we can do it is by a resource consent because of size. That doesn't seem to be a logical reason for applying.
Just take that a little bit further. If it was a resource consent, because effectively you sit well outside the plan because of your total area, you would prefer that the council looked at certain aspects of your farm. In other words, you're looking at Pacific water take or Pacific wintering against looking at a whole farming enterprise.
Yes, it would be useful.
For the council to concentrate on these specific areas to address the need because they sit outside would be
Yeah, our simple answer would be on a submission of a farm plan should be, these should be the parameters and your farm plan should be within those parameters. And as long as it meets those parameters, that would be no different than, as I say, 25,000 stock unit properties, then that would seem to be a logical outcome for us, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The, just on that same issue, the Rule 49 issue, your 12,000 litres per hour is, I think, 200 litres per second. Anyway, it's a big take.
Yeah.
What sort of water body are you taking that out of?
Out of the Wairaki for some, and some of it's pumped out of the ground.
Right. Do you know roughly the split?
No, sorry, I don't.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can find out.
No, that's okay. All right, no, I have no further questions. Thank you very much.